Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. These Easter days, Paschaltide, the weeks of April after Easter Sunday, are meant to be a continuous feast, all joy, exaltation. The strife is o'er, the battle done, we sing so often. Yet no one can keep up the happiness. It's a kind of a holy or a high tension of victory. No one can live every day with an exclamation point or two. St. John says, if you keep the bow of the if you keep your bow tight all the time, you never relax it, it will eventually be unable to launch the arrow. So at Easter, we felt the victory of things, the joy. And on Good Friday, the sorrow and the darkness. But eventually, the human heart seeks for rest. And thus, Almighty God makes each Sunday to be for us a little Easter, to be a day not only for worship, it belongs to Him and not to you, but also of rest. And this He does like a good father, because He knows what is best for His children, so He orders a day of rest, and we obey. Because we all need downtime, a bit like toddlers who have to be put down for their afternoon nap, or else there'll be difficulties. This is the nature of April. Once the 40-day fast breaks forth into the bells of Easter Sunday, settles in, a kind of a welcome quiet. Our holy work resumes in May, because there's the Blessed Mother to be honored and crowned, and with her must we await the coming of the Holy Ghost for the 50th day, for confirmation of our children and confirmation of our faith, right after Jesus has ascended into glory in heaven. It's all grand, and it's all glorious. It's a magnificent victory of faith, this work. It's God's work, the Opus Dei. And the fact that it continues, regardless, in the midst of the revolution. It's been 13 months, and I'm sure everybody is counting, since the lockdown and the lies. So you sometimes cast about, does somebody have some good news, we ask? I heard a rumor the other day about how maybe our rulers would allow us out of our masks by the end of April. And we long, if not for a resolution for this long-planned scamdemic, which seems to be just proceeding along according to the great plan, the great reset, regardless. But at the very least, we're looking for a little rest, maybe the refreshment of hearing some common sense story of somebody popping up in the midst of all of the fearsome communist propaganda. But perhaps it should be enough for us to know the little joys of today, because tomorrow is not promised to us, and to rejoice in them. If life goes on, that means that today you have won, and so the children of men marry and are given in marriage, so that children may come and be led by parents to heaven, and babies reborn in baptism. More faithful these days have been swelling our numbers, and each Good Friday, without any fear, we kiss the Holy Cross, and a second time, the relic of the true cross. And every Sunday, we go to Calvary, for Little Easter. Maskless, we make bold to be at Holy Mass. And the sermon often aims to unmask the global monster, our would-be master. This monster comes in many ways to attack. But at the consecration, Christ crushes the enemy. The unfeeling foe is the phrase used in one of the prayers for the blessing of expectant mothers. A beautiful phrase. Who's the unfeeling foe? Well, nowadays it's the state, which seeks not just to subject us, but to slay us. It's come to that. And as the saying goes, you know that story, they came for and I didn't say anything. Well, they came for the babies a long time ago with a government-funded murder. And then 13 months ago, they started coming for the old people. And well, those were just the rules, you know, what could you do? And the Romans, you know, considered it a virtue to practice extreme cruelty. I wonder what they would say about the Americans. And now they come for you, needle in hand, and it's your turn to be the guinea pig while they work on crossing pigs with humans, the ultimate trans, this side of creating a robot people, which may be in the works as well. Should you survive all of that, and you're not necessarily meant to, you'll have to adjust to a new population, the new barbarian invasion, and that was planned long ago as well. And your role is that of a slave. They're getting you ready for that. You know that. But there's some good news. The good news in today's Mass comes before the good news, because the gospel means good news. But I'm thinking the epistle, because Mother Church is always one step ahead of everybody else, because she's a mother, and she has to be. Today, St. Peter is writing to whom? He's writing to slaves, to Cappadocian slaves. Cappadocia is, I looked it up, a semi-arid region in central Turkey, where, of course, they all are Muslims, and Islam, that means submission, and that's what they want for all of us, submission. Just now they're having their parody of Lent. They fast till sunset, and then they feast all night long, and if they can manage it, they sleep like a cat all during the day. That's their penance. The Cappadocian slaves had a reputation, not to put too fine a point on it, to be not very smart. Stupid, some commentators say. So, St. Peter's words in the epistle are really just a simple, short sermon for slaves. But perfect for us, too, because we're slaves in training. You know, born free and all of that in the USA. But here we are, corralled and muzzled and quarantined. Nevertheless, the apostle insists that we imitate Christ, that we practice virtue, that we not sin ever. When St. Paul dealt with the subject, he gave his slaves some comfort by saying that one day their masters will get theirs on Judgment Day, which is doubtless true, but not St. Peter. St. Peter takes his slaves back to the time when the master became a slave for us, and he, Peter, betrayed him. We can never be too far from a devotion to the Passion of Christ, even at Paschal tide. St. Peter wants us to see how the Master, the Maker of the universe, died the death of a slave. Most slaves died that way, you know, and the Romans fixed crucifixion as the cruelest possible way of execution. But for the Romans, slaves were subhuman, you'd say transhuman today, the source of cheap and disposable labor. And when they lost their usefulness, why then the master would announce the sentence, just as Pilate did in the first station of the cross, try to make the stations from time to time at church or at home. And the sentence was, pone crucem servo. Put the cross on the slave. That's what they said, and that's what they did. St. Peter today is remembering that, with tears, always weeping, that night, it was like last night, it was a cold April night, and he was gathered with the slaves in the courtyard around a fire at the high priest's place, and they got to talking, he and the slaves, as people will. And then he betrayed his master. When just a few hours before, at the Last Supper, our Lord had said, you will all of you be scandalized in me this night. And then quoting scripture, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Peter boasted, they may, but I will never turn coward. And he did. For him, our Lord became a suffering slave. Slaves know all about stripes and unjust judgments and the gibbet. Now they will hear about the shepherd, Peter writes to them. He's one of them. See the scars. See the marks on his hands and his side. He's coming to look for you. He's coming looking for you, the good shepherd. Slow down. Rest a little. Catch your breath these quiet April days. Let him catch you. It's only to set you free. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.